Well, as they did in the first century, we've gathered together to break bread, to remember our Lord and our Savior. And last week, we were focused on this concept of the soothing aroma of a sacrifice. And we get to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 and observe that the sacrifice of Jesus was a fragrant, a smell-good aroma. And as I was studying that and thinking about it, it occurred to me that smells are powerful senses. Through smell, we can be transported back into the past, to both good times and to bad. I don't know if you know this, but I think I was born with COVID because I don't have much of a sense of smell. And so I didn't, you know, if people said, oh, I know I have COVID because I can't smell, I'd never know. But I have some smells. And they do transport me back. One of the ones that I remember very well is movie theater popcorn. It transports me back to when I was a kid and got sick at the movie theaters. Every time. If you go to California, they're Soaring Over California, and it's this ride that sends you flying over this big screen. But they knew that's not enough to make you feel like you're there. They push a scent towards you so that you can smell the trees as you fly over them. What if we went through the cross and looked at the smells? It should bring us vividly to this moment, to this night and this day. And it starts when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. They were in an upper room, and they were having a meal. And I don't know what all was necessarily involved with that particular meal, but I know that there was a great scent with that. But then in John 18 and verse 1, right after the Lord's Supper, they cross the Kidron Valley, and they go to the Mount of Olives. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. And as nighttime falls and the disciples through sorrow are fallen asleep, Jesus is breathing in the air of a garden as he prays to God, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours be done." And the scent changes after that. Because when Judas comes to betray Jesus and he brings all of these men with him. Oh, I forgot to do this. Yes. As he is praying, it says that being in agony, he was praying very fervently and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And so now you think about from this point on, Jesus' clothes are just kind of drenched. And we know the smell of sweat. And that's the smell of Jesus. And I don't know how much of that sweat hit the ground, but there's the potential then that you have that smell of like rain, of wet dirt. Not coming from the clouds, but from his own body. The sweat hitting the ground. And then the betrayer comes. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And so now we're in the garden, and the garden smell is being overpowered by the smell of those torches, the smell of a mob, of a riot. And then there's a different smell that Peter would have very likely strongly associated with that night. Because as Jesus is in the midst of being tried, being punched, being mocked, Peter's outside in the courtyard. It says, "Now the slaves and the officers were standing there having made a charcoal fire. For it was cold and they were warming themselves, and Peter was also with them standing and warming himself." And we smell charcoal sometimes in our neighborhood. And I think every time Peter smelled that, he smelled cowardice. He smelled and was reminded of the times he was trying to hide his relationship to Jesus, even swearing and cursing, "I do not know the man." And then during the trial, they take Jesus and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And so now this fine fabric, what a contrasting smell that must have been, this fine fabric being put over him while he's getting mocked and beaten. And then they handed him a piece of wood. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. And so now Jesus has the smell of wood as he walks. And of course, at some point, Simon the Cyrene is asked to carry that. But it is the scent of the very thing that he would be nailed to. And as they're going through this street, and it's not asphalt or concrete. Their streets are just stones. But there's a crowd that's following. Following him was a large crowd of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. And when you have a large crowd walking down the street, you kick up this dirt and it has its own scent. But they get to the location and they take nails and they impale Jesus to the cross. And there's a smell there. And it's been here for a while. And it's the smell of blood. That smell of metallic rust. And it's been around for a while because first Jesus is getting punched. He's scourged. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him with a stick. And now they have driven nails through him. There is blood all over, and with it the smell of blood. And while he's on the cross, they offer him a few things to drink. And I don't know precisely what those things would have smelled like. The sour wine mixed with gall, I've always just personally thought of vinegar. They gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. In Mark's account, it says they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And I didn't know what myrrh smelled like, and so I looked that up. And I don't know how you look up what something smells like, but this is what they said. It smells like licorice. And I never would have thought of Jesus smelling licorice as he's gasping his last breaths. But then there's the things you don't smell. You don't ever smell decay. Peter points this out in Acts chapter 2, that because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Jesus would not stay in the grave long enough to really smell. But instead, once he dies, you get rather pleasant smells that are brought up. In John 19, verse 39, Nicodemus comes, who had first come to him by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. They're referred to as spices, perfumes. And in the very next verse, it says, so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices as the burial custom of the Jews. And so here you have this fresh linen. And with that, we have the scents, the ones that we're told about, the ones I imagine Peter and Jesus and the disciples could never forget. And we're told Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Remembering the smells of the cross, let us partake of the Lord's Supper.